This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hi, and welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian Berkowitz from New York.
And Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And thank you all for tuning in today. And Rich, how you doing? You know, a lot of people don't know this, but we were actually together last week. It was pretty exciting.
Ooh, that, I don't know if that came out right. We were working together. Okay. we were in a Midwest city. We're going to not go into details, but a Midwest city, and we're working on a project. And we got to get together, and it was get together for the second time in 3.5 years.
So it was great. No, it was fun. We recorded a podcast, which will release soon, and we got to hang out, drink a little, have fun, and that was it. Cool.
Yeah, great.
So and, you've been busy, huh? Sports, weddings, designer work, nonstop.
Yeah, it's just, it's really tough. I always say it's tough to go from real estate photography all week to design photography, then to a wedding on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday go to sports. You just got to change up all your gear, pack different bags. And it's just, I wish I had like three different cameras for three different genres, but amongst my many cameras, but it was fun, and it was exhausting, but it was really cool. I got to shoot some professional sports, kiteboarding and windsurfing, and at the San Francisco Yacht Club.
I saw the picture you uploaded sitting on the bay.
I'm Sir Francis Yacht Club in San Francisco Bay, pointing my camera at Alcatraz. It was really great. Yeah.
Cool. So let's get right into it. You want to talk about what we have today and introduce our guest?
Absolutely. But before we do, I'd like to say a welcome to HD Photo Hub. Provide your clients with the convenience of online ordering and scheduling with HD Photo Hub's new smart scheduling system built specifically for real estate photography business. With HD Photo Hub, you'll save precious admin time with an all-in-one system to deliver your images, videos, 3D scans, and property marketing kits, along with built-in client invoicing, order management, photography payroll, and so much more. Check out hdphotohub.com and find out more. hdphotohub.com. And with that said, I just want to bring on someone that I have watched and known in the groups, the Facebook groups, for years, but I've always been impressed with his work and the scope of his work. It's just one of those things where you're getting just these incredible homes and incredible opportunities. And he pulls them through every time with these great twilight shots and everything. So Shay, I'd like to introduce you, and I want you, so I don't botch, I want you to say your name and especially your last name.
I'm Shay Bletchenden in San Diego, California.
There you go. Great. Well, give us the 1 minute or 1.5 minute elevator pitch. Where can we find you? What do you do? A little bit about yourself.
So like Sam Chan, actually, if you've had him on your podcast, which I know you have because I've seen it, our stories are quite similar. We're in the same neighborhood. We're in the same market, similar photographic backgrounds. We both shoot luxury. I've been doing this for about 3 years now, full time, for probably just over a year and a half. So I'm very much a newbie as far as I'm concerned. I feel like this is the first time I've done it, which is crazy because if you know my work, you know that I'm shooting. Actually, my average home value is $5.7 million right now, and I've shot over $1 billion in luxury properties in the last year. So it's been quite a ride.
In the last 12 months. Wow.
Yeah. So that's my elevator pitch, just doing luxury real estate and loving it. And it's hard. To me, it's like a video game. I'm trying to figure it out and get to the next level every day. And that's my story.
Well, so you appear to be not an old guy. What did you do before you were doing real estate photography?
Well, I'm very much an old guy. I'm 54. Starting to feel it. I'm wearing glasses like you are, because I can't see anymore. I am a PGA golf professional. I'm a lifetime member of the PGA of America, which is also how I got into pretty much everything. All of my contacts at the beginning of real estate photography came from my contacts in the golf world. Not unlike Chris Miller, who I know over here in the desert nearby. And so I was doing golf lessons, working at country clubs and that sort of thing before I started doing this. And I made surfboards before that, when I was like, you know, right out of college. So I went from surfing to golf to photography.
But no windsurfing, because there's no wind in San Diego. So
not enough wind in San Diego. Pretty rare.
No, actually, now everybody's on foils. So there's plenty of wind down in San Diego. And that's my thing, windsurfing and kiteboarding. But
yeah, well, when I was great. Making surfboards, there was a guy named Shane Horan, which was the first guy to do the foil surfing, which was completely novel at the time. It was pretty interesting to watch that. And then you had Laird Hamilton and some of those guys doing the foil boarding. It's just incredible what those things can do.
Well, we had a friend of mine invented a foil 30 years ago, and he was foiling, trying to get it together. But it's a long progression. It's really exciting stuff. So, anyway, enough off topic. But were you on the tour?
No, I've played. I played a lot of professional events, but they're club pro events. So you're playing against other guys who are teachers and head pros, directors of golf, and so here in Southern California and also in San Diego, I've got to compete quite a bit over the years. Although I don't do that too much anymore.
Did you do photography while you were playing golf? That's a segue into what you're doing now.
I started getting really serious about photography in 2006. And so I was working in the golf business, and I was at a country club that's just off the charts beautiful. So it was really a good time for me to buy a new camera and hone some of those skills. And that's where it kind of gradually started turning into more photography and less golf.
Let me ask you, I kind of want to stay on this, because all we ever talk about is photography, is real estate photography. But this is so interesting to me as a professional sports photographer, which I use the term lightly. But you, as we all know, you never click your shutter during the swing. And especially, and after a swing's done, then you hear click, 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 click. But with the advent of mirrorless cameras, I remember at the beginning, it was the Canon G1. Anyway, it was the first mirrorless silent camera. Did that change? Did you shoot a lot of golf? And did that change? Mirrorless change everything in golf?
I never shot. When I did my golf shooting, it was more golf course photography for, marketing websites and things like that. So I've never shot professional golfers playing, so I didn't have to deal with the whole shutter sound and all that. Mm. Although you're allowed, when you go to a PGA Tour event, you're allowed to bring cameras in on the practice round days, and everybody and their brother's got a camera and they're shooting away. And I think the pros get used to it, but you certainly wouldn't do that when they're actually competing. Exactly. Beep beep.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I know you were awaiting my interruptions. So.
Well, no, I was actually going to ask you what the origin of your last name is. Completely off topic.
Oh, English. Okay.
Let's not even touch upon real estate photography this whole time. This could be a great, great way.
Yeah. Well, let's just leave my porn career out of it and we'll be okay.
No, actually, I think I really want to get into that. So where is your, the name? Where does the name?
It's English.
English?
English, Bletchenden.
Yeah, and are you you first generation? You from the US?
No, quite. I'm a US person for several generations. Yeah, yeah. I've been to England. I went there to watch the Ryder Cup, but I haven't. I don't know anything about my heritage there for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you started getting into photography, shooting golf courses. And obviously you said that was 2006. So there's 13 years in between there, 14 years, 15 years, whatever it is. So how did that segue happen? Cause you've been doing real estate only for, you said, a year, 2 years, whatever, you're pretty new. So you've obviously been either shooting something that really convinced you to go full time with this, or what happened in those 15 years where you said, all right, I'm done with golf. Let me take on photography full time.
In 2006 is when I started taking a lot of pictures, and I went heavy into like landscapes and seascapes for the most part. So I did that and traveled around. I loved going through the Southwest and, the mountains and stuff here on the west side of the United States. And so I did that until probably 15 or 16 as a, very serious amateur, I guess you'd call it. I sold quite a bit of like wall art. So I've got a good background in printing photos, like, you know, 10 feet wide, huge, huge pictures, and doing a little bit of art sales with that. And then I started doing probably around 15, 16, 17, some of the local golf pros who knew me as a golf pro and as a photographer asked me to come start doing photography for the courses. And I realized then that if I did that full time, I could probably make more money and work less. So that was kind of what got my brain going. And then the thing that really got me into real estate photography, which was about 3.5 years ago today, a woman who worked at the country club asked me if I knew any real estate photographers. And I said, no, why? And she says, well, my mom's trying to sell her house. And I said, well, I've heard of this one company. And I gave her the name of a local bigger company here in San Diego. And she goes, oh yeah, we called them and they're booked solid for 3 weeks. And I was like, whoa, these people are, you know, desperate for a photographer and they can't get an appointment. There could be, you know, some openings in that field. And that's what caused me to start looking into it. And so then I called a real estate agent that I knew who was a member at the club and said, hey, can I get together with you? And can you tell me, you know, the basis of what are you guys paying for real estate photography? What does it entail? I knew absolutely nothing about it. And he says, hey, I've got a $2.5 million house to shoot next week. Do you want to do it? I said, yeah, I'll come and I'll do it for free. And at that point, I get introduced to Mr. Rich Baum and YouTube channel. So I went on and tried to figure out as much as I could, as quick as I could by watching Rich's channel. And which also means that I started off, I knew how to do HDR from landscape. So I knew I could handle it, but the whole flash thing was really complicated and confusing to me. And seeing Rich's whole flambient thing was really good for me to start in the beginning. So I got some lights right away and just dove in head first. And that feels like 5 minutes ago. Here I am still trying to figure it out.
Your first listing ever, $2.5 million. Wow.
Yeah. And the clients were very happy with the pictures. And then they said, well, we've got two more houses next week. One of which was 7,500 square feet, $3.5 million. And so that was my third shoot. And I had lights for that shoot. And I had no idea what I was doing. Pictures came out pretty good. Once again, from a landscape perspective, I knew how to fix things and, you know, I knew how to make it work, but I was absolutely faking it, you know, fake it till you make it.
I tell people, especially the ones people I coach, they're trying to go from HDR to lighting to worst case scenario, shoot your brackets so you can bail yourself out. Take 1, 2, 3 or shoot the whole thing. Try and experiment with your lights on a shoot, but don't leave yourself out in the cold as you probably did, Shay. But I mean, we're only as good as our ability to bail ourselves out in Photoshop. So, you know, that's kind of it, but that's kind of living on the edge. And I love it. I've always shot above my comfort zone. Where were you, Brian? Were you at the beginning? Were you, well, I remember some of your work, which still isn't as bad as my beginning work.
Yeah, I mean, my first shoot ever was for an interior designer, not even real estate. So I got thrown head on in and it was awful. I posted some of the pictures. You know.
Well, what did the client think though?
They never hired me again. Okay. I mean, I don't know I don't know at this point if they're still even doing design work, but yeah, I mean, I don't know what I was doing. I like everyone
it's
else, I was doing HDR through Photomatics and, you know, all my lines were crooked and horizontal and converging. And, you know, I think I even had some ghosting in some of the shots cause I walked through them, just awful stuff.
Well, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Correct.
And Shay, what kind of equipment were you using at the beginning, and what did you realize? Did you have a geared head? Probably not.
No, but I got one. Like I spent about $700-800 the first week I got into it, thanks to you. Just so you owe me there. I bought a geared head right away.
You still owe me.
True. This is true.
Everything.
I bought a geared head right away. I realized how important that was. Although I didn't have one for the first couple of shoots, I bought lights right away, 2 or 3 lights and Godox, Godox stuff, flashpoint. And it was the perfect time because I think Godox had just kind of started to take over the market share. And I've been, you know, I buy from flashpoint now from Autorama, but, It's really lucky for us to be able to have those types of lights, which are pretty reliable. They work good. The price point is fantastic, and they've lasted pretty well for you know, overseas import electronics. It's a pretty good product, so I'm happy that I was able to do that at a good price.
Didn't you just get rich one of the new ones, the 100 Pro? You said is amazing.
I got to tell you something. Yeah, I've just been using this little thing. It's smaller than this coffee cup, narrower. It's the same size as a Coca-Cola can, and it's a 100 watt second. The Godox Explorer. This is Flashpoint, but same thing as Godox. It's the 100 watt second light, and I started last week to start shooting almost my whole listings with this one single light. Wow. It's amazing. And now I'm not shooting huge places with it. I'm using it on all my shoots, but I'm just blown away by it. And yeah, the transformation. I started with quantum lights, which were like the Flashpoint Evolve 360, and then I was plugging plug. No, actually, it was before that. I was using lights. Alien B 600s, and I was plugging them into a Vagabond battery that was like 20 pounds, and that's what I would carry on shoots, and it was freaking crazy, but it was the best we had. And then it went to quantum lights, and then which were exorbitantly expensive, and the batteries were super expensive too.
I still have some batteries if you want, Richard. I'll give them to you for a good price.
Actually, the girl I shoot weddings with, she still uses quantum lights, and she will not switch. She won't go there, but I think you're crazy. But I just think that then it went to the 360, which was an external battery, and then it went to all lights with internal built-in batteries, and it really was a game changer. It lets you forget about a lot of the problems and the weight and the hassles of dealing with that SHI stuff. And then it lets you concentrate on what we're doing. So it is just continuously evolving. And the one thing I want to caveat it is I think the Chinese lights are fantastic. And I actually have a really good luck reliability wise with them. But I always say, always have backups of everything, especially triggers. All my triggers have never gone down. But obviously, you know, have backups of stuff. So it's the one thing.
Yeah, I'll echo that sentiment. Just to brag for a second, I've got backups of all my backups. I've got three camera bodies with me at all time. I've got an extra wide angle lens. I've got seven triggers. I've got a 300 on my waist. I've got a brand new 300 in the truck. I've got a 600. I've got two 200. So it doesn't matter what happens to me on a shoot, unless there's a nuclear war, I'm prepared to move forward and get it done.
And you said the 300 on your way. So you're using the Explorer 300?
I'm using the 300. I was using the 200 exclusively for a while. And I tell you what, and it was fine. It was great. Yeah. But, you know, I'm remembering that I'm in huge spaces most of the time in big rooms, and I need a lot of light and a lot of power. And that 300, there was just so many rooms where I just needed just that one little extra edge of power, and the 300 puts me there to where I can use that, unless it's a really, really big room, you know, a 800 square foot room, then I've got a 600 that I keep with me for all the bigger stuff. But the 300 has been huge. It's small enough to handhold real easy, and it hangs from my waist without a whole lot of weight there. So it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Great. Awesome. Before we continue on, I'm just going to give a quick word from iGUIDE. Are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? Stand out from the crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from the click of a button with the state-of-the-art iGUIDE camera system. Get your first 5 iGUIDEs free up to 3,000 square feet by adding the code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at camera purchase. Visit goiguide.com to learn more.
Got to pay those bills.
Well, yes, I'm looking at your work now. I mean, this really phenomenal stuff, considering you've been doing this for, what'd you say, 2 years, 3 years.
Thank you.
I love those shots with the hot air balloons. That's pretty neat. How'd that come about? Stroke of luck?
It's, you know, in coastal San Diego County, pretty much every day, there's 3 or 4 operators that have balloons that go up on just, you know, tourist rides. And they fly right over all the mansions in Rancho Santa Fe where I'm at every day. So you can pretty much count on seeing balloons pretty much every day in Rancho Santa Fe. if you're shooting there. And I keep my eyes open, and I've gotten to the point where you can hear them when they hit the little thing that fires up the flames. You can, oh. So I'll be in a bedroom or something. I hear that sound. I go, oh, there's a balloon outside. And I'll just book it outside right now and get a couple of shots, you know, by the pool with the balloon flying over. That's a nice little bonus to have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Yeah. Here's some golf course shots. I'm sorry, Rich.
No. Tell us your website so people can join us and check out
my website.
But by the way, everybody out there, you should check out Shea's work because it's inspirational and you will learn a lot by watching it.
I'm at Shea, REP, SHAYREP, realestatephotography.com.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, what really stands out to me is your exterior stuff. I know, as Rich mentioned earlier, you do a lot of twilights, and that stuff is what really stands out to me. Really, really nice work.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm very, very fortunate to be able to you know, if you're a portrait photographer and you had, you know, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie standing in front of you, it would be sort of hard to take a bad picture. So I'm lucky that I have moderate photographic skills, and to be able to combine that with a world-class property, you know, it's a recipe for success. And then of course, a little experience on there helps mm-hmm. make it better all the time.
Now, let me ask you, Shay, because this is a subject that last week it came up when Brian and I were doing our thing we were doing. I was dealing with the term I like to call making your own luck or making your own success. As you kind of fell into it, and granted you happen to have a background where you were in the right place at the right time, and it just kind of all worked out. And I'm sure you would agree that that's, you know, that you're, if you weren't in the golf industry to begin with, you might not be where you are today. But what could you tell people that are just getting started out? Because again, you are new to this. What could you tell people as far as being in the right place or getting out the word, or, yeah, because that's a tough one. How do people do this?
Yeah, you know, there's an old saying, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And there's absolutely no question that 100% of what has come my way happened through personal contacts that had known me for 10 or 15 years. And they know who I was already. They knew I was a good photographer already. And so you kind of have that baseline credibility before you even get started. So absolutely the social network was huge for me. And then, but it's not just knowing the right agent. If you know the right agent and they bring you some business and the pictures aren't good, forget it. So, you know, one of the things I would say to anybody new is it's not, you know, it's funny. Let me say the overseas editors that are contacting all of us all the time do nothing but say, we have 50 cents and we need work. You know, we want your business, but they never show me good pictures. They show me crappy pictures, and I would never, you know, use their services unless I saw really good quality work. And so my advice would be learn to do really good quality work, do the best pictures you can. I'm not saying my work is good, but I'm trying to. It's a passion of mine to get better. And I spend a lot of time fixing things in Photoshop that no one's ever going to notice, except for, of course, guys like you who are, you know, you see these flash shadows that don't work or these little things that you should have Photoshopped and you didn't. So I take the time to make them, you know, magazine quality. And oddly enough, you know, I do end up in a lot of magazines, the local ones here for luxury real estate. And I never know what image the agent or the magazine is going to pick. So I have to have everything dialed in because I'd hate to have something goofy end up on a cover of a magazine unbeknownst to me.
Do you do all your own post?
Do my own what? Oh, yeah, 100%. I went through the job of trying to find an editor, and it didn't go well. It's the same situation that most people do. I know if you're doing three brackets and one flash shot, yeah, it's pretty easy to find a decent editor that can do that. But when you're doing this flash compositing that we're doing, you know, one picture might be one flash and an ambient. The next picture could be a 17 or 18 flashes, you know, in three or four separate rooms. And to hand that to somebody and say, here, make a picture out of this, they can't do it.
I recently have been doing some outsourcing myself and to one of the editors, exactly who you're talking about. And I did quite a few test edits, and I did edits where I would shoot the whole house, and I also shoot it three brackets, two stops apart. And that gave me the ability to send it to them. And then I started comparing the two. And I realized in certain houses I shoot, which would be more like my standard house, which just is a no-brainer. And it lends itself to more of a sterile white. I've been using that term lately. The editing photos I see people putting in the groups and stuff are very sterile. There's just no feeling to them. There's one dimensional, very white though. Very, you know, the whites are white and sometimes definitely too white. But I have found that in certain situations, it's fine. And I won't say it's great, but it's fine. And it will bail me out if when I'm getting really, really busy, I'm just maxing out. So I've got to do this outsourcing. And the price is right, as you said. But these are all three brackets. And there is no, I tried giving them a flambient. And yeah, I mean, how could you expect somebody to get inside your brain? Because when I'm shooting for my own edit and I'm thinking of my end product as I'm shooting. And that's how I make it work together. And I can barely keep it together. So how could you expect somebody else? But I just think to all those people out there that are doing the outsourcing, don't rely on that, because when you get an opportunity to give something where you really need to step up and do something special with feeling and emotion and shadows, and it just can't be, in my opinion, it can't be recreated by anything that I've found or anybody that I know that I've found work, unless you're working with a custom editor that really is working together with you. So, you know, and I know like Chris Miller, I guarantee you he's found an editor that he gives enough money and time and work to that has made concessions to get him what he needs. But other people, I just see these images and I'm like, They just irk me because they're great HDR, because I can't do HDR that good, but they just are lacking, you know?
Yeah, the thing that really drove me insane was I try to get my window pull in the main flash exposure. So it's not like an ambient, a flash, and then a separate window pull. I'm trying to get it all into one picture. And I would send the pictures out to the editors and they would take my ambient frame, which has really bright, hazy edges around the windows. And then they would cut in the window exposure. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you could just use the flash frame and add a little bit of light to it. It would look a million times better. So that's the dead giveaway. You've got these bright overexposed window edges with a dark window pull. And it never looked right to me. And so I hate that.
The blooming of the window panes, yeah, with the perfect window.
Yeah. And it just, I'm like, I'm handing you a product that's already, it's there. You just got to put a little light into it and it's good. And they would never use it. They didn't use the flash frames for the room. They only used it for the windows.
You can't expect them though to, you know, I mean, I'm trying to cut them some slack. You know, yeah. How in the world could you do that? Unless you've really got a company. And the problem too is they might give you the same best editor 8 out of 10 times, but those two other times they're going to give some flunky, less than optimum editor your work because they're just maxed out or something.
So, yeah, and they all say
lack of control.
They say flambient, but everybody has a different definition of what flambient is. For them, flambient and flash compositing is three brackets and a flash. They don't understand true flash photography, and they're all trained.
It is flash. Exactly, I'm sorry. The new term is flatulent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, in honor of Sir Sam Chen, who is your neighbor. And by the way, he's watching you now and he's going, writing all these notes. How can I get him out of the picture? And
I've got to throw a shout out to Sam, because at the very beginning, I remember I said I got 2 or 3 shoots right away and I bought lights and all that stuff. Well, I went into hardcore study mode and I was on a trip driving to Zion National Park. And I was in Washington, Utah at a gas station. And I was listening to my first Shooting Space podcast back then. This was 3 years ago this week, 3 years ago this week. And
so it might have been one of our first episodes.
Sam Chen was on and I knew he was in San Diego and I'd already heard his name because one of my agents had used him before and they said he was the best in town. So I was like, great. Well, he's on the podcast. I'm like, oh, maybe I can learn something from this guy. And he said something. He said that it's a huge market and there's a big enough piece of pie out there for everybody. And he says, if you're good at what you do and you want to get into it, there is business for you, which was the reason I got into it, is because my other friend had said that the company was booked solid for 3 weeks. And I thought, okay, there must be opportunity there. So I jumped in, and it all worked out pretty well for me. So thank you, Sam. And I did contact Sam
pretty well.
Very soon after that, I contacted Sam and asked him a couple of questions. And I prefaced it by saying, hey, listen, I'm your competition. I'm going to be, you know, cutting into the market. So I don't expect you to help me. I probably wouldn't help somebody in my market for just that reason, because it is very, very competitive. And he was nice enough to answer my questions. You know, he didn't, you know, take me by the hand and show me how to do anything, but certainly he was open and willing to help. So thank you very much, Sam. I appreciate it. And Sam's got a great sense of humor, and he's also a Led Zeppelin / Van Halen fan. So I feel like he's my brother from another mother.
So basically, my videos and our podcast has led to your ultimate success. That is.
Yeah, but it wasn't until Nathan Todd Cool that it got really good.
Oh.
But where did he get his from? Wait, where did Nathan get his stuff from, though?
Probably
your own. Yeah, true. I think Nathan's great. You know, we both have similar aspects and stuff, but
yeah, absolutely.
More similar than not similar, but we're completely different. And he's an Oxnard surfer, so you probably get along. Yeah. And you're both bald. So
yeah, exactly.
I've got hair though. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry that I'm gonna go right in here. And if you're out there and you haven't checked out Nathan Cool, check out Nathan Cool. He's got some great eBooks, and he makes great, much better videos than mine, but I'm just a better teacher.
You know? I'd say, yeah.
Well, anyway,
I'd say you guys are very much on the same page as far as having watched everything that you've done and everything that he's done. You're just saying it a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a little more science-based research type of mind, and you're a little more artsy, feely. You know, let's put a little light in here, put a little light in there, where he's like, you want this on 2/3 power in this corner facing that angle. Yeah. So it's just a technical versus an artistic kind of view. And I think both are incredibly important. But Rich, of course, you're the master.
Yeah, master something. Anyway. So I want to actually, I'm looking at my Zoom screen and I'm in the middle between Brian and Shay, and I just want to say, bring it into your court there, Brian or Shay, more in the end of, do you do design photography? Where have you gotten as far as that's concerned? Or are you only doing real estate photography?
Are you asking me or Brian? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm asking you, because I know Brian does architectural or does design photography. No, Brian's the master in this room, but what are you doing as far as design and going beyond real estate?
I'm 100% real estate right now. Design photography is something that I'm looking at. Architectural. I've shot homes for some very famous and popular local real estate interior designers, and they love the work. And they don't get it reshot, and the houses sell. And so I know that the quality is there. They're the most discriminating clients that there are from the real estate point of view. But I went into one home, and there's a guy that was kind of managing the home. And I walked into a room. I go, oh my goodness, what am I going to do here? It was pretty challenging. He goes, yeah, that's what all the photographers said. I said, what do you mean all the photographers? Oh, we've had this house has been shot 3 or 4 times for magazine ads and stuff like that. And so everybody has a challenge in this room. And I was instantly intimidated, thinking, okay, we've got full on architectural interior design photographers have already shot this house. And now I'm coming in to shoot it as some real estate schmuck in the background. It's like, oh my goodness, I hope the pictures are good. So it's an intimidating thing, but luckily I've been able to come through relatively unscathed.
But no plans to, I mean, are you thinking about delving into it?
Yeah, I'm new enough to this that I don't know. It's just one day at a time. I don't know. I don't have a plan of, okay, I want to go become Mike Kelly, or, you know, you listen to Sam, he says, I kind of like my little niche of just staying in real estate and avoiding all the chaos of architecture. And I'm sure, you know, actually Brian, it'd be a perfect time for him to weigh in and give me advice. I know we're here to talk about the business, but I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to go after that part of the business or to just kind of stay in my little corner here.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's hard for me to say without knowing too much about your business and give you advice, but you are in the luxury market, which is kind of where I was from the real estate perspective. And the good thing about the luxury market is you can make a significant amount of money there, especially when you're doubling or tripling up on services. And, you know, I know you do video. I saw on your website, you do drone. And when you're shooting a luxury market, when you're shooting a 7,500 square foot house and doing a video and drone, you're coming out with the same amount of money in a day that you're going to get on an interior design shoot. So when you're doing something like that, and there's a lot less pressure on interior design than an interior design shoot, you know, you don't have to be as precise with the edits. The usage licenses you're giving out are much shorter, typically for the duration of the listing. So there's something to be said if you're strictly in the luxury market, where if you're doing well and you enjoy it, why dive into something else? But then, you know, in the same sense, you know, we're all creatives here. That's why we do this. So there's something to be said about doing something a little different than what your norm is, just to keep those creative juices flowing. And shooting design work and, you know, having a focus on design work when you're on set and composing that way will allow you to see things a little bit differently when you're on your real estate shoots too. Maybe I don't have to shoot as wide. Maybe I can put a 50 on for real estate and get away with it. So
that makes perfect sense. And I'll tell you what, I've been really working hard on video and studying and trying to get kind of my own little new skill of video, and learning to do video has dramatically altered the way I'm shooting photos now. Because one of the things that I'm noticing in video is you're always flying past something, a door jamb or a bush or some design element. You know, you always have this foreground thing, which I didn't do in my photography very much. And now when I go to homes, I'm crawling off into the deepest bushes I can and shooting through the leaves and getting these foreground elements. That video has really helped my regular photography a lot. So that's an interesting side note there.
Yeah, coincidentally, I have one of your pool shots open, and there's
like a one-man show element.
Yeah, just me, 100%.
Just you. How many houses a day on a busy day?
It's a one. Yeah. My photo shoots are 3.5 hours. I book them 3 hours before sunset. So, and like I said, the last house I shot was 8,200 square foot with an additional guest house and an additional like pool casita thing. So we're looking at 11,000-12,000 square feet, you know, $5-8 million. And so it's in order to do flash photography and capture the whole thing, both I show up, I do daytime exteriors, I do daytime house. By then it's kind of golden hour. Then I go out and try and get money shots, and then I stick around for twilight. So it's a 3.5 hour shoot plus travel, plus get my gear in. And then of course, downloading all the images and editing, and you got another 3 or 4 or 5 hours of editing. So yeah, it's one house is a full day. So it's one a day, just like Sam.
Is that the twilights is that another service that you upsell, or it's just included in your package? You're selling one luxury package.
I'd say I have a price for day only, and I have a price for twilight, but 90% of what I do is twilight included, for sure.
Yeah. It's the agent's brand. You know, most of my agents do twilight on every listing, just because they want their website to look consistent, and all their clients also, all the homeowners that are using my agents are looking at all their old pictures and what have they sold before. That's where, you know, if you're listening out there and you want to better understand that, it really is worth trying to upsell, trying to get the best work there. And because they're seeing your work in the past, and you know, it's really important. And to try and get your agents to understand the value of twilight photography, because in today's world of click, click, click on MLS, it really helps sell the property. No question in my mind.
Yeah. And I've had a little bit of an issue with that, because I've got regular agents who are good customers now that call me up and they say, hey, we've got this vacant lot, we want you to shoot it at twilight. I'm like, I can't do it. There's only one twilight a day. And if I take your $200, you know, vacant lot, and then one of my other clients says, I've got this $10 million house, I have to turn them down because I'm already booked. So I won't book twilight partial stuff anymore. I save all my twilights for full shoots.
Well, you should do what Chris Miller does. I think he almost does two Twilights a day.
Yeah, I'm not getting up at 4:30 a.m. Forget it. He's
morning
got a,
Twilights are tough.
He's got a family and he probably doesn't drink, so I need to sleep in a little bit more.
No, I think if I had a family and I was doing two Twilights a day, I'd have to drink. Yeah. Brian, you ever do morning Twilights?
Nope, not once ever. Yeah. And I'm an early bird. I'm up at 5:30 a.m. every day, but
just. The worst part is you'd have to get the homeowners up at
exactly
4:30 to get. No, they don't. And even if they say they would, it ain't going to turn out right. But because maybe we should get Chris back on the podcast and go, how do you manage these morning twilights? I'd like to know that.
Yeah. So, and then I've done it
a couple of times.
The other issue is you show up at the house in the dark, basically. You haven't seen it and you can't see it. So it's kind of hard to. When I've spent 2.5 hours at a house already, I have a very clear idea what I'm going to do when twilight happens because I know this house inside and out. But if you show up at 5 a.m. and it's dark, I don't know what angle is going to look good. And by the time it's happening, it's almost too late. So I much prefer kind of having a game plan before it all happens.
And I'm sorry if I asked you already, but are you doing single exposure twilights? Or are you doing double exposure or using lights?
Well, I always bracket for twilights. I'm doing 5 brackets no matter what every single time.
It's so simple.
I'm learning more and more and more how far you can push the files. And I'd say I'm doing probably 50% now single raws. And then 50% is some blended. I always blend my brackets in Lightroom, which end up looking exactly like the single raw. It's just a matter of.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. If you take your single raw and hit auto settings, boom. And then you take 5 brackets and hit bracket. They look absolutely identical. The only difference is how far can you push it when the time comes to start tweaking things.
Not always, but like 90%. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. It is just, I have taken brackets. And then I've done single raw exposure, and I really find that, at least with my cameras and my eye, I can push raw and make it look as good and probably better than the bracketed JPEGs.
You know? Yeah, I think probably one of my pet peeves is highlights. I really want to control my highlights. I don't like anything being overly bright or blown out. And once it's gone, it's gone. And what I'm finding is that the single raw, sometimes if something's just a little too hot, you know, you get the two porch lights, there's just no way to get it back.
Garage lights.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so what I'll do actually, when I do my bracketing, I'll turn, because I'm doing 3 or 5, usually 5, I'll turn the exposure compensation down -1. So that way I'm getting, because I don't need the bright frames ever. I want the darker frames to make sure I've got recoverable highlights.
Cool stuff.
Crickets.
So I was going to ask you as we you know, run low on time, and I know you kind of fell into this by accident, the luxury market. So it might not be a fair question to ask you, but you're in it. So people that are looking to get into it, or people that are already into it or just starting out, you know, do you have any advice to offer as far as dealing solely in the luxury market, things to look for, things to help you along the way?
Yeah. You know, I would think that the vast majority of people in the country probably don't have the opportunity to do it because they just don't have enough homes. You know, Southern California, Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, there's a lot of luxury there. And so it'd be pretty easy if you're in this neighborhood, but I think it's probably a mistake. I see people on the groups talking about wanting to do this. It's very competitive. I think you really have to have it together before you're going to get those gigs. One thing that really helped me in the very beginning, when I was watching Rich on YouTube, I had a Lynda/LinkedIn educational thing, lynda.com. And there was a Scott Hargis video on there on real estate photography. And I watched that. And he said something that was key for me. He says, listen, when you have some extra time in a shoot, you want to go make a portfolio picture if you can. You got an extra 10 minutes, stage it up, make it look as good, because you have to have the good portfolio pictures before you can get the good jobs. And at that point, because I was a golf professional at this country club, let me tell you about the country club that I worked. It cost $350,000 to join the country club that I worked at. So it's incredibly high end. Everybody there is $10 million up to $1 billion. I've got
friends. What country club was it?
It's you know, I'm not going to say on the air, but I've got friends that are billionaires, and they all know me. They've liked me, and they've known me for a long time. I'm a member of the family and some of these things. So it's really easy for me when I started to call my friends up and say, "Hey, can I come over and take some pictures of your house? Because I'm trying to get into real estate photography and I need to practice. I'm trying to build a portfolio." And the answer was 100%. Yeah, come on over. We'll make dinner and open wine. So I would go over and take pictures and instantly started putting those on Instagram, Facebook, that kind of thing. And the other agents in the neighborhood got to see these $5 million houses that I was shooting. And that was my first week on the job. But it gave me a kind of an instant credibility, I guess. So for sure, you need the pictures. You need to be able to show these people that you're capable of doing it and what you're capable of doing before they're going to hire you. Because if they don't know you, they all know each other. It's a very incestuous community. All these agents know. So you've got to be really careful to keep your reputation intact. Because if you screw up with one person, they're going to tell everybody else. And vice versa, if you're doing a good job, all the other agents are going to go, "Wow, who did those pictures? They look great." And next thing you know, the phone starts ringing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Scott, like you just said, you know, show the work you want to shoot. He's the one, he said that at PFRE, I think 2 years ago. And I'm sure he said that before other places, but he said, you show the work you want to shoot, which is exactly what you said. If you want to be shooting this, you know, get as good as you can at it and then show it, you know.
Yeah.
You can't show a small, you know, 1500 square foot houses if you're going after the luxury market. It's not going to work. So
yeah. So I think it would be, I mean, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but it would be tough for people to replicate the way that I got into it, because I just happened through golf to know enough people with nice houses to be able to build a portfolio just with a simple phone call. Come on over.
But I will say that no matter where you live, no matter almost any town in the United States, somebody is getting high-end work. There's somebody in town that owns a big house and has to sell it. You can find that. You can be that. You know, it seems far off to a lot of people, but there is somebody in town is shooting big stuff. And I always found that in Sacramento and any place I've lived, we've found that. But, you know, make your own luck, but just do as much as you can to get out there and get creative in how to meet people and then start relationships. It's all about the relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah, it certainly takes time. It's definitely building. You know, I've got my next door neighbor here is a real estate agent here where I live in Escondido. And she gets emails just the same way that we do from the overseas editors. She gets emails from photographers and photography companies here in town like every day. They're all fighting for her business. "Hey, we can do your real estate photos for you." So, and she's just delete. And I see people on the groups calling in and or writing in and saying, "You know, how do I get business? I'm contacted these 7 real estate agents and nobody called me back." That's not the way to do it. You know, sending them an email, they're just delete. Yeah. So I don't know what the secrets are, but that sending emails is not going to get it done. You need to have personal FaceTime and they need to see your work. So think about that. Personal connection is definitely the way to go.
Well, fantastic. And as we always do in the end, I want to just give a little word from PhotoUp. Who doesn't like free editing? PhotoUp is now offering $100 off free editing to Shooting Spaces listeners. You can choose to work with their team of trained editors starting at just $1 per image, or choose to work directly with an editor you have and then have them learn your specific style. Don't need editing help? Well, PhotoUp also provides virtual staging, property websites, photo delivery, and website design and development services. PhotoUp even offers specialized virtual assistants starting at $7 an hour. Perfect if you're looking to add an assistant to help with administrative and marketing tasks. Head over to photoup.net/shootingspaces or click the PhotoUp link in the Shooting Spaces website to redeem your free $100 credit, or simply mention Shooting Spaces when you sign up to receive 10 free credits or try out any of PhotoUp services. So go check out photoup.net/shootingspaces. And with that, Brian.
Yeah, well, I also want to recommend people to go follow you, Shay, on Instagram. I'm browsing through your Instagram now. And not only do you have real estate photos up, but it looks like you have a lot of fine art stuff also. So it's pretty neat. You have a nice variety of different stuff up there. So go, let me see. It's Shay_realestatephotography.com, correct?
Correct. Thank you.
Cool. So Shay, I want to thank you for coming on. It was great chatting. You know, I didn't really know you so much before, but Rich, you know, awakened me to your work and the stuff is gorgeous.
I said, trust me on this one.
Well, I really appreciate you guys letting me flap my lips for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate all the nice things you said about me. Passion is the key to success. And so get out there and shoot and try and do this for the love of it as much as you do for making a living.
Boy, his closing's a lot better than mine.
Brian. I was about to say, that was a perfect close.
Golly. Woo! Ding, ding.
Rich, you have your work cut out for you now.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to play that back and remember it. But I just think the one thing you're saying is, you know, I mean, how lucky are we? Seriously, I know that all three of us are just going, how lucky are we? And please, everybody know, we put in a lot of time and effort and, you know, you built it up and you do it, but it is possible. And, you know, how wonderful. And, you know, there's some downsides to shooting these massive, extraordinary houses where, sure, it's really beautiful and really exciting, but it can be a lot of work. But, you know, you learn a few tricks and things like that and some ethical, how you do your business. And you very well could be very successful and enjoy your business. Yeah. Great.
Okay. Right, cool. Just want to remind everyone to subscribe, yep. shootingspacespodcast.com. You can go in there, sign up for our email newsletter. We send you an email every week when we release new episodes. You can go online and submit some Ask the Guys questions. We can always use more. I know our season's winding down soon, but we can always use more. We do record a lot during the off season, so send those in. And that's about it. You know, Rich, we got to get some webinars going soon.
We've got to do webinars. We've got to do all kinds of things. PFRE's coming up in Vegas. That's going to be great. And I just
are you going to go out there, Shay? Time? You're going to go out to PFRE?
You know, I am. I'm not a member of PFRE. It's kind of, I hate to say this, I kind of don't know what it is. I know that's what you guys have this other organization of.
Well, so the good news is you don't have to be a member of anything. It's not like PGA. it's basically just a blog. And they put on this conference. Well, last year was virtual, but it's going to be a conference the end of November or mid-November in Vegas, all about real estate photography. So if you make it out to Vegas, I'll hopefully see you there. And there's also going to be a video streaming library. So for, I think there's only maybe what 5 or 10 presenters live, but there's also another 10 that are doing videos for the streaming library. So
okay,
a lot of fun information. And I know Vegas isn't too far from you, so
no, easy drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
easy drive. Thank
so you. Look into it, and if you end up there, hopefully I'll see you there.
Be nice to connect with some of these people that I haven't met yet, for sure.
Yeah, well, Sam's gonna be there, so you can carpool.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
that'd be worth the price of admission right there.
Van Halen, and
drive to Vegas with Sam and his cat.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, listen, Shay, it was last minute coming on this podcast, and I want to thank you, but I knew it would be good. And when I looked at your work, admired your work over the years, I had no idea you've only been doing this for 1.5, 2 years. Just blows my mind. But it just shows that it's possible for everyone. It ain't brain surgery. And if we can do it, you can do it. But maybe there's a little bit more to it than that.
Thank you. And by the way, my new webcam was $80. So you owe me for that too when we get together.
Oh yeah, I'll send you a check. No worries. Okay. I'll give you a PayPal. Okay. Send me your PayPal address. It's yours. Okay. Great. But I just want to say thank you. And then I'm going to make it quick and short. Until next time, go shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.